That's, you know, that's what it is. And that was the fun of going to Penn. You were in an urban setting. I was there for the first time. And the university was very involved with the city, what was happening in the city, what was changing the city at the time. And that was very exciting. And you meet different people with different influences. So, and a lot of kids ask me about it today, and I certainly don't discourage them. I mean, I certainly tell them it's a wonderful field. It's a wonderful training to take into anything.
Sure, you were going to go into TV there for a while after school.
Yeah. And I think architecture gives an understanding of many things. Yeah.
Was there any one thing that you did that was outstanding in your mind? What?
A lot.
Well, one particular thing that you like that...
It's hard to say. You know, I think you look back at your work and you see it as an overall of where it is. I think my stuff is very... very simple. I don't think it's what I call gymnastic architecture, which tries to say everything I've ever wanted to say in one building. There's certain architects, if you look at their buildings, they say so many things you're not quite sure what they're saying and what they're doing. I did a house up in Hallidaysburg for a family maybe 20, 25 years ago. That's quite a magnificent house. The fellow that's the curator of the Museum of the Alleghenies, who's been there every time I see him, said, "Chuck, it's the greatest house. It should be published, the greatest house." I just saw him recently. Maybe a month ago I bumped into him, and he said, "Joel, that house still." Yeah. So you do things which you like, you know, more than other things. That always happens.
I think I asked that wrong. What I want to know is if there's one accomplishment above all the others that you feel that was the best thing you did.
No, I don't think so. I think you do different things. I think in my practice, the advantage of it is I do different things. I've never been stuck in one thing. And everybody will say to me, "Well, you've never done this before." My answer to that is, "Well, you may be lucky that I've never done it before." I come to it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And I may do more research than anybody else would do because they've done it so many times. They think they know all the answers. You know, mine may be a more refreshing approach because I'm going to study it in my office, study it and do things. I build a lot of models. The models of almost everything I do. Because I feel that that's the only way my clientele understand them. You know, most people will not tell you they don't understand things. They'll look at them and say, "Oh, yeah, and you know damn well by looking at their face they don't have any idea what you're talking about."
Well, I have trouble reading a blueprint. I have to say...
99% of people can't read it. And so when you go to meet with them, they don't understand what you're talking about. And there's nothing worse for an architect to do something and your client walks in and says... "This is what we talked about." You know, I mean, that's a very frightening experience.
Yeah.
And so I build a lot of models to make sure people do.
How do you build these models?
Not a cardboard and things like that. Just mainly to show people the shape.
Have you ever seen the models at the museums, different kinds of things?
Yeah, that's a lot of...
Oh, it is.
That's extremely time-consuming in itself.
Yeah. But it's a way for me to study.
Uh-huh.
By studying the massing of it.
Yeah.
And it's a way for my clientele to understand what they're doing, or what they're getting. And so it's really very important. They're big and they're massive sometimes, but it does help, because you know when you're done that the people certainly understand what you're going to give them.
Yeah.
I always tell the experience that I did it when I was very young. I did an interior for somebody, and they wanted something contemporary, and they knew that was my feeling. And who's out of town, and they called me and said, "Joel, something's wrong here. This thing is nothing like you told us, nothing whatsoever. You need to talk here. I mean, what's wrong? We didn't want this." So I went, it was up in Johnson. It was for Lewis and Bernice Coppersmith. I remember Louis Coppersmith. Where did this come from? So I called the contractor. It was very traditional. Things on. He said, "I didn't think they'd like that." He never had done it before, and he just assumed that they would never have liked it, and it's not what I meant.
So what happened
he changed it.
It's like having a painter come in and decide that his idea of color is different from yours and he wants his.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it just was mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling. You know, and he was very serious in it, you know, and I learned the lesson. You know, you've got to really
tell
make
them.
Sure that your contractors understand your drawings. Because a lot of times contractors who have been in the field for a long time,
uh-huh.
and a lot of them haven't worked with architects, you know, they do their own thing. They build an addition. They build it traditionally as they've always built it. All of a sudden somebody says, can you work with an architect? Oh, yeah. And you give them a set of drawings and you make the assumption that they understand it. We never can make that assumption.
Uh-huh.
And by talking to them well enough, long enough, you
yeah.
know whether they understand the details.
Uh-huh.
And the details are what make something. I mean, anybody can make a wall.
Yeah,
it's the detail
right.
of the wall, what the base looks like, what the turn looks like, what the top looks like. That's the detail of the product. And that which makes good architecture is the detailing of the architecture. It's not the, it's space and light, but it's also the little details of things.
Yeah.
So I've learned that, you learn that very quickly, that you have to make sure your contractor understands what you're doing. Because if they don't, they won't admit it. They really won't. And most clients won't admit it. I mean, they'll
they don't want to be made to feel stupid,
right.
I guess.
And I try to tell them, you know,
yeah.
And get them at ease to make them feel that, hey, you know, if you don't understand that, you better tell me. And don't feel you're the only one, because most people don't. 99%
yeah,
of people don't.
Yeah.
And so you have to make people have that understanding
yeah.
and that feeling to be at ease with you. So that it is very interesting what you, and I've had some big guys, believe me, that don't understand drawings. But the big guys that don't will make sure they do.
Yeah.
Or that their workmen understand it.
The ones that have more confidence in themselves.
Well, you know, it's sometimes you do details and you're trying something new, and the biggest problem you have in many cases in architecture is you want to do something, and the contractor will go around you and tell the client, you don't want to do that. That's costing more money. Well, maybe it costs more money or may not. They may not understand it also, and they don't want to attempt it. So they'll go around and sort of undercut you with your client. And the next thing you know, your client's coming back and say, Joel, we really want to do this way. What's, you know, and so you have to be strong in your convictions that this is the right thing for the design. And don't let the contractor get between you and the client. And I always tell the client, please, don't talk to the contractor. I tell my contractor the same thing. I don't want you talking to the client.
I have a worse problem. I'm a mother-in-law to a son-in-law who wants to do all his own design stuff. Primitive. Terrible. But a mother-in-law
but
in
it's
a
his
different
own,
position.
But I assume it's his own stuff.
Keeps her mouth shut.
It's his own, what do you mean?
It's
his own
home.
Oh, that's
yeah.
his prerogative.
Oh, yeah.
It's his prerogative. You know, his wife can put out with
it. My daughter has to live with.
Well, what does she say?
She doesn't really care.
Well, no. Mother-in-law should always keep her mouth shut.
If she doesn't care, what's the difference? If she's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's happy, then I think that's fine. I think you know, that is true, that it is difficult to not impose your own impression. Even when I go to my daughter's house, I try to say nothing.
Right.
I really don't. Because, you know, their circumstances are different than mine. When they bought their house that they're living in Needham, they did not ask us. And I know why they didn't ask. As soon as they saw it, I know why they didn't ask. Because they knew I would have gone through the roof and said, don't buy it. And they knew that this was the right thing to buy for them in their situation and their economics. And they were right. My wife still looks at it and says, I can't believe it. And I said, no, it was the right thing. These kids, if they had listened to us in what we see in Pittsburgh and what they see up there in Needham and know the cost of things, they did the right thing by them. And they thought more sensibly than we did at the same stage in life. We really did. They really do. And I think they're much more conservative than we are. I don't know where they came from, understand. I don't know where my daughter came from. She's so conservative. But that's just their thinking. And so consequently, I think in the long run, they made the right move. We would have never advised that. But so consequently, when we go, I say to Annette, hey, Annette, you know, it's their house.
Right.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And don't stay too long. 2 days, 3 days, and we leave.
We're finished. I'll tell you a story about that. Okay, there's a question on here, so
One of the things I think I should tell you that you don't have here. Both my children are adopted to the Jewish agency.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Both to the Jewish agency.
How long did it take you to adopt them?
I would think the first one was probably the longest, a year, and the second one I don't think was too long. Dana, I think, was about 2 months old when we brought her home. Jay, I think, was only about 2 to 3 weeks when we brought him home. They had changed it a little bit.
Oh, because I heard stories where you had to wait for years for children. And
well, maybe today, I don't know. But then it wasn't too, as I recall, wasn't too long. Because we were married only 3 years when we got the child, our first child. So, and we certainly didn't think about it until maybe the third year. So it couldn't have been a very long period of time.
Did you tell them, are they aware that they're adopted?
Oh, yeah, sure, from the beginning. Okay,
that's much better than getting
there are some parents who don't like to tell their children, which I think is...
Well, today that is very... You hardly hear that today. No, it is really the opposite today. Mm-hmm. You read books and you talk about it, and they're both aware.
There's good counseling today.
Well, I don't know. I think my daughter had problems with it maybe when she was around 18 or 19. I think in there she may have had problems with it. I've never noticed any problems with my son, I don't think. You know, you often wonder about that. I think that you put pressure on your children because when you're in a situation with an adopted child, the question becomes, which is stronger, heredity or environment? You know, that's the old battle.
The ever-ending question.
It's the ever-ending question, which influences them. And I think they are influenced by environment, but I really think heredity plays the utmost part in it. There are certain things that are in those children that I could never change. It's just it's in there. It's in them from wherever it came from. And unfortunately, some of those things you don't know. You don't know the disease factor, you don't know the mental factors, there's so many
things. You have no idea
Today people, I think, would know a lot more than...
Right, because of the genetics factors.
Yeah, today people are much more than. They ask a few questions, and that was interesting. I'm glad to
get the child.
I think we have a pretty good relationship with our two kids, which has been very nice. And I never think of them any other way. And I don't think they really do either. But at times you step back and you think and you realize, you know. But that disappears very quickly.
Well, I have to tell you something. In bringing my children up, sometimes if I had adopted them, I would think, they never got this from me. They must have gotten it from their parents. So, you know, children are different than you.
Well, you do both ways, and, you know, people say, we have some young friends who don't want to adopt, they're afraid of the consequences of getting this bad and that bad. I say, hey, you can have that with your own children.
That's true.
I mean, you know, it happens all the time. So, you know, that's the risk you take in life.
Yeah.
And so it's been a good experience.
There's a question here that I will ask you. It says, how do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community today? If you have any comments on that.
I think it's strong. Yeah. I think it's a good life. I think it's a strong life. And I think that contributed to the community tremendously as a whole. I mean, I think there's no denying that just by looking around the city. And it seems to be as strong today as it ever was. You always think the generation after you won't be as strong, but I see the younger kids coming up and they're just as strong. I think the big difficulty is as we live longer is to step aside, because you know you don't want to step aside. You still feel active, you still feel you have a lot to offer, but at some point I think you have to get the younger generation involved. Because if you don't let them get involved with the young age, then they won't get involved. You know, if they feel that the older are always going to, you know, take precedent over everything they say. And I think that's one of the difficulties of most older people is changing And by change, I don't mean necessarily shutting up and not saying anything. I think it's learning how to contribute to younger people to make them feel a part of it. You know, I go so many places where I see people who get to a certain age and they just bow out. And they become bitter, you know. And I think they stop reading, they start mixing and discussions. And I think that's the one thing that you've got to continue to do. I don't know that I ever will be in a position I'm not involved in something. It may not be what I was involved in 10 years ago. Now, I'm not as involved in the temple as I was, because I see a whole new generation growing up there. Mm-hmm. And a few times I go to the meetings, I went to a building committee meeting about 3 or 4 months ago. The same faces were there 20 years ago. I thought, I was like, good grief, they better get some new bodies on this committee. Somebody that can come along behind that understands what's happening in this building to train them, you know. And sometimes organizations don't see that. And I think you have to see that, you know. So I'm doing other things, you know. I'm into photography and I met a whole new group of people and I find it fun. Where it'll take me, I don't know. But it is fun. And I'm doing something else that I think will keep me active and interested. I think I'll always stay active in architecture. Architecture is that type of practice. You know, architecture is a type of field that I can always find a client somewhere who will hire me to do something, even if I move to wherever, you know, to Nome, Alaska. I'm sure I could, you know, put my name out and say, you know, I'm an architect, and somebody would ask me to design something. So we design one project a year, and keep you happy. You know, as long as you're still doing something to keep the creative juices going, I think that's the critical part of it.
Okay. The only other thing I wanted to ask you, is there anything you'd like to say that we haven't covered? I think that Ruth asked you about honoraries, awards, publications.
I haven't done a lot of that. A couple things in history and landmarks and the building idea. As I told you, I've always shied away from that. I'm not that type of person that goes after that. Sometimes I say maybe I should have, but I never have. I've sort of quietly done my own thing.
Beautiful
things. Well, you know, some of the things, I mean, you know, I've had good relationship with my clients, generally speaking, over the years. I really have. There are very few clients that I've done work for that I haven't maintained a good relationship with, which is always nice, you know. There are always people you start work for, you may not do continue the work for one reason or the other, like they decide not to build the house, they buy something else, you know, they're not ready to build. You know, building a house is a real undertaking. I tell some people they may not be able to take it. And I say, hey, keep looking, maybe you'll find something you want to buy. If you do, buy it, I don't care. You know, it's a disappointment if you design something, but everybody is different in the field. Some people can take it. I know the limitations of people once I meet them. Everybody thinks they can do things, and I will certainly understand. I remember when I flew to Milton Cynthia's house, it was a point in time when I went to talk with them. She was in one bed, flat in her back. He was in another bed with a flu, and I was sitting in between two twin beds on the floor talking about the house that they were rehabbing. The house. And I remember her doctor saying to Cynthia, when you get rid of this architect, your back problem. I did 3 houses for Ray, you know.
Well, I know.
I love this house.
But you know, and it is the truth, because it gets so personal with you. You really know their lives, you know. And it is anxiety to a lot of people. Certain people can do it, and certain people can't do it. You know, Cynthia could do it, and so could Milton. Margie was like, you know, anything to do with Margie, she was up on the roof flying around, you know. And you had to tell Margie what she had to do.
You know? I think you have to have a certain amount of confidence in the architect.
Well, I think you do, but certain people, you know, can never make a decision on their own. You know, you can put 2 things down and say, this side, and they say, I'll take this one, and back.
That's
true. That drives you crazy. Yeah. And there are people like that, you know.
Joel, do you know Cynthia's Washington apartment?
No, I've never been there. I've been invited, but I've never been there. I understand it's gorgeous. In fact, Lauren wants me to come down, and Lauren wants to go. And as a matter of fact, Margie and Ray said one time when they're down, we would meet them down there, and, you know. And
well, they took two apartments and put them together, and it reminds me of going through a maze at Kennywood.
Yeah.
Because you have to find your way around.
Huh.
It's incredible. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, but you know, if you have the means to do it and you can enjoy it, hey, do it. That's always been my comment on things in life. You know, some people, my comment, hey, if you have it and you can afford it and you enjoy it, do it. It's like owning artwork. You know, it's nobody else's damn business. Do it and enjoy it, every minute of it. You know, we ain't here long enough, so you might as well do it. If you don't, the next person will. And so, you know.
Or your children will.
Yeah. I was telling my children, nothing, kids. It's all going with me. Well, you like to get your children. You like to get my kids.
Yeah.
Are looking to add on to their house up in Boston area now. So we're going up this week. We'll try to see what they're doing. How they're going to. Because they have one child and one have another, but the house are so small. Of course, in our day and age, or my parents' day and age, that house would have been fine. You would have three or four kids in it. But this day
one
and age, you know, it's not the same. You have to have room. You have to have a playroom. You have to have
that. Well, my son-in-law is into log houses.
Oh, is he?
He gets the old ones that they're ready to tear down that are rotting.
Uh-huh.
Takes them apart.
Where is this, around here or where?
Greene County.
Oh.
Should we stop this tape?
Yeah.
That's, you know, I've been very interested.
But
when
I think that's great. I think that's great that he likes to do things like that.
Yeah.
To me, it's the advantage.
Yeah.
People like to do things. You know, let them express themselves. What the heck?
It's still running, yeah. Well, thank you.